Good to see each of you here today. I know I announced it on last Sunday, but I think some people forgot about the time change this weekend. So those that we usually see in Sunday school, we might see them for the morning service. I hope that's the case. Anyway, let's take our chorus books this morning and turn to song number 3. Do you wonder why it is I love him? Song number 3 in the chorus book.
Oh, Jesus.
understand who the Lord Jesus is just a little bit. And obviously, we can't fully understand this side of heaven. And even in heaven, I'm not sure we fully will. But we will decide to follow him. That's Psalm number 31. Meditate upon it and be obedient to it. And when we do so, we will receive your blessing. We thank you that our pastor and his family are now here on a full-time basis. Amen. And we pray that you would use him as he teaches and preaches the word for as long as you give us in this life. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, it wasn't without its mishaps, but we got everything taken care of on Thursday, and everybody survived. So do pray for them as they get settled in and get the house fully in order and everything put away and all that stuff. It's going to take some time, as it would for anybody who moves. So just pray about that, and then obviously pray that the Lord will use our pastor as he continues to minister here. And we're really thankful that all three of you are here. So continue to pray. God will use all of you. All right. For the first time in 2 weeks, we will be able to have an evening service tonight. So looking forward to that. Hope everybody will come back. And we'll see some folks that only because of their schedule are only available at that time. Look forward to seeing them too. I believe that's all the announcements I have at the moment. Let's take our books once again, and we'll turn to Psalm number 48. If we know who Jesus is and we follow him, we will have joy in our hearts. Psalm number 48. All right. Very good. When we know who Jesus is and we follow him, and therefore we have joy in our hearts, we also will have peace. That's song number 63. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Amen. Classes can be dismissed at this time. It's great that we have have an order class able to work today. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We started looking at this passage last week. Chapter 2, we are learning verse 11. Next week we'll move on and include verse 12. That one is going to take a little while. That's a lengthy verse, but for today and this week we'll continue just with verse number 11. We'll take just a moment or two. Did anyone learn verse 11 and would like to say it? Okay, Bart, go ahead.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men.
Amen. Very good. We emphasized last week that this is a verse that speaks against Calvinism. All right. Anyone else? Sure.
I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
Titus 2:11, for the grace of God appeared unto salvation to all men.
Not quite.
Okay, well,
getting close. You gave it a shot. That's good.
The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men.
Good. All right. Okay. Let's say it all together then. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All right. Esther.
I can barely move this morning. All right, it's nap time now.
Yeah. Oof. It's been a busy couple of days, couple months, couple years. No, amen. It's a blessing to be up here full time now.
Amen.
I really, this church is, y'all have gone way above and beyond anything we could ask for as a family. And we thank you from the bottom of our heart for those that provided meals, those that came to help. We're thankful for those that couldn't even come to help. Brother Craig couldn't make it, so sorry, brother. No, I'm just joking with Brother Craig. No, I'm thankful for everybody that could help out and was there, and I got the truck stuck, but the brothers in the church were able to use their ingenuity and help me get the truck out of the backyard. But God's been good through it all. I mean, He's provided everything that we've needed in His right timing. Everything pretty much went smoothly getting up here. And so we're very grateful for that. We're very thankful for everything you've done for us. And it's a blessing to be up here full time. I do have a few announcements. Next Sunday, after the Sunday morning service, I'd like to have a short little meeting with the members of the church concerning missions, something that's on my heart, and also discuss what we do for Pastor Reddy over in India. And then I got contacted last night by Brother Mark Reno, Rachel's husband. He sent me a text and asked if I bring this up to the church. He said that I guess her 40th birthday is March or May 20th. So what he would like to do, he said, if anybody's interested in the church, he would like, starting April 11th, he would like to give her a birthday card every day 40 days prior to her 40th birthday. So he said, if you're interested in sending Rachel a birthday card, send it to his office address. I don't have that. I'm sure the church has it somewhere. If you're interested in sending her a birthday card, you send it to his office address. And then starting April 11th, he'll give one to her all the way up to May 20th. And then also he's going to have a surprise. Right now it's still a surprise birthday party for her May 22nd down there at the church. So everybody's invited to attend. If you'd like to attend, it'll be down there at their church on May 22nd. And then also next week too, in the short little business meeting, I'd like to also talk about our Sunday evening service times. I've had like four or five people, different people come up to me, independent of each other, that would like to change the time for Sunday nights a little bit earlier to help some people out that work early in the morning. And so we'll bring that up, some suggestions, and then whatever the church would like to do, we'll go with that. So that'll be next Sunday as well. And then I'd also like to bring up, too, that if anybody would like to, we'll talk about the church also to do something for Sister Kathy here, who's lost her husband and her son also. And if you'd like to give a love offering, to put it in the offering plate or offering box back there, and we'll get it to her. Just continue to keep her in prayer and her family. I think that's everything that I got off the top of my head that I wrote down. Amen. So let's continue on this morning in the book of Genesis. Start here in Genesis chapter number 1 still. Look at verses 4 and 5 this morning. Genesis chapter 1 and verses number 4 and 5. Genesis chapter 1. And we'll start in verse number 1 and read up to verse number 5. It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for the sunshine. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that we were able to get out of bed this morning and, Lord, come to church. Father, I thank you that we have voices to sing out praises unto you. And Lord, I pray now you just lead, God, and direct, Father, in all my words. Just help us to learn something this morning out of your word that would help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I've seen over the last little bit here is how important it is to stay in the Word of God. Okay? And to go, even in, I try to in church to go verse by verse through books of the Bible, but even in your own study time and your own time at home, to go through the whole Bible. Okay? Just don't stay in one favorite book, but try to read through the entire Bible at least once in a year. Okay? To where you get the full counsel of God. And the reason I bring that up is there's a lot of bad doctrine that's being put forth by Baptists today. You know, one of them is Calvinism. Another one is replacement theology. Now, I don't know if you know what replacement theology, but basically it's the church takes the place of Israel. That's false. Israel is still God's people. But the problem with it is when you just stick with a few verses in the Bible, and you look at one verse as your proof text for your whole theology or your whole statement that you're making, you're gonna fall into trouble, okay? Because if you believe that the church has replaced Israel, then the church is gonna go through the tribulation, okay? And you have to forgive me this morning, but it's been pretty heavy on my heart, and I'm pretty emphatic about it. God still loves His children, the children of Israel. And in my opinion, as far as this church goes, and as long as I'm pastor here, we're going to love the Jew. And we're going to support Israel. And we're not going, as a church, going to turn our back on Israel. Because I believe if you do that, you're going to start getting yourself into trouble. Amen. Okay? God told them to bless them. Bless the children of Israel. And He'll bless you. You curse them. It's not going to be pretty for you. And this is what I'm concerned about, too. I think in a lot of independent Baptists, I think a lot of, for lack of better words, I think a lot of infiltration is happening.
Come on, preach it.
And it's causing, and it's bringing in false doctrine, and it's making the church sick. Okay? So the church has not replaced Israel, and I'm not going to go fully through it this morning, but there are divisions in the Bible. Okay? You can't say, if you're honest this morning, you can't say that God's dealing with us today as He did with Adam and Eve. Right there is a division. There is no tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil that we're supposed to take part of one and not to eat the other. It doesn't exist no more, at least here on this planet that I know of. So right there is a natural division, a natural dispensation. Okay? So I bring that up because how important it is to go through the Bible verse by verse and to take the full counsel of God and make sure that it fits. You're not just taking a puzzle piece and jamming it in there because you want it to fit. Okay, to make sure it lines up and fits throughout the whole Word of God. So the Bible says here, God said in verse 3, he said, and let there be light, and there was light. And then in verse 4 and 5, and it said, and God saw the light that it was good. Okay, God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, take your Bible and look over at Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1. Okay. We looked at a few weeks ago, you know, what that light is that God created there on the first day. I personally don't believe it was the sun and moon. I think it was some other type of light that God created. God saw that it was good, and he caused a division with it between light and darkness, and you have a day and you have a night. Colossians chapter 1, and look at verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay, so here you have the saints and their inheritance, and it's the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So the Bible talks about here that when you get saved, you are now a saint in light, and you've been translated, you've been taken from the power of darkness into the light. Okay? So here you have light and darkness as it refers to saints and as it refers to our salvation. Take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 14. Light and darkness. Light and darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse number 14, Paul tells the church here in Corinth, he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? There can be no communion with light and darkness. It's either light or darkness. And Paul tells the church here in Corinth, listen, there's no communion. Light has no communion with darkness. Okay? Now, some things that, that the Bible shows here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 4 and 5 is that light brings division. All right? God divided the light from the darkness. But the Bible also says here, well, let me go back a second here. Take your Bible and look over at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. I want to go over this real quick. I want to look at a few other things in the Bible that talk about light. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 23. Before I look at light and division. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 23, it says this. It says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, how can you explain that? Okay? The Bible says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Now, obviously, that's not physical light that we see or physical darkness that we can take part in. There is, I can't understand, it's a mystery to be able to try to explain it. But somehow when you read the Word of God, it enlightens you. All right, the Bible says in Psalm 4:6, there may be many that say, who will show us any good? And then the psalmist says this, it says, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. So there's something here with this light. The very first thing that God brings forth, he brings forth light and he divides the light from the darkness, and the light he calls day and the darkness he calls night. And then you see as you go through the scriptures when it talks about light, even here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, it's, I don't know if it was at that time that God brought forth his commandments, that God brought forth his law. I don't know. But the Bible says here in Proverbs 6, 23, that God's commandment is a lamp and his law is a light. So when you walk in God's commandments, when you walk in God's laws, when you walk in God's statutes, you're going to start to have light that's going to help you with your walk with God. The more time you spend in the Word of God, the more light that you're going to have and the more things you're going to understand, especially when it concerns this world and the society we live in. I don't need to watch Fox News to know it's going to get bad. Right? I don't need to watch CNN. I don't need to watch CNBC to know what direction we're heading and what happens when you reject the counsels of God. The Bible clearly shows what happens when you take the Word of God and you set it off to the side. The Bible shows you what direction that society is going to go. And we have history to prove it. You throw out God's Word and you throw out society. Brethren, I'll say this again. The Bible says that righteousness does what? Exalts a nation. I don't care who you get in office. I don't care who you get into Congress. I don't care who your governor is, who your senators are. If there's not righteousness, the nation will not be exalted. And that is what we're missing today in this country. We're too concerned about them taking the commandments out of our schools. We're too concerned about them taking prayer out of schools. We're too concerned about not being able to put up a manger scene in the front of a courthouse instead of righteousness in our lives. Do you see what I'm saying? We're too concerned about our rights than our prayer life. Brethren, that is where the power of God is at. And that is what's been put off to the wayside. And that is what's causing problems because it starts in the churches. It starts in the churches. If we want our nation to be changed, it starts with us. It starts with us in our own individual homes, in our own individual prayer closets, in our own individual walk of God. And you say, but I'm just one person. That's all that God's looking for. Do you see? Well, I'm just a woman, or I'm just a young child, or I'm just a single man. That God's just looking for one individual to stand in the gap. One. But there's a price tag to it. It's going to cost you something to do so. And it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be a walk in the park, but that is what God's looking for. And that will change a home, that'll change a church, and that'll change a society and a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, and the light of God and his countenance upon us. His blessings. I'm amazed at God's blessings. I'm amazed at what God still allows this country to have. Considering how we think, brethren, think about how we as a nation treat God. How long would you put up with somebody if they treated you like this nation treats God? Basically, this nation spits in God's face daily. Yet God bestows blessing upon blessing upon blessing, mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace, upon a country that basically says, we don't want you or anything to do with you. And yet we can go to a grocery store this afternoon and basically buy any type of food that we want and to eat. And that's a blessing from God. God is good this morning. You know one thing I realized the last couple weeks? I said, God, I'm just thankful. God, I'm thankful, God, this morning. I'm thankful that I got people that love me. I'm thankful that I got a church to go to. God, I'm thankful that I'm saved. God, I'm thankful that I know that if I die, I'm going to spend eternity with you. God, I'm thankful, God, for everything that you give me. It's when we become unthankful that we start running into trouble. The Bible says, for the commandment is a lamp and a law of light, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And that's where a lot of Christians fall short. When God starts to reprove them, they start to run away and get antsy. They don't want the reproof. But growth only comes by reproof. Growth only comes, I'm not much of a gardener. Is anybody here that's like a really good gardener or a farm brother? What do you have to do to a plant or a flower or a fruit tree to get more fruit or more flowers? What do you got to do to it? You got to prune it. You got to cut it. You got to take things away. You got to dig up around it and fertilize it. And then when it grows more, you cut back even more. But over time, if you keep doing that, that thing will blossom into something very beautiful. So you can just let it go because you don't want to hurt it, and it might have one or two flowers. But it's going to hurt that thing, but you're doing it for its own good to where you can see multitudes of flowers coming off of it. Do you see? That's what God does in our life. He'll cause things in our life that will hurt us, that'll bring tears to us, that will bring heartache to us. But in doing so, he's trying to produce more flowers in your life. But see, it's someone to shy away. No, God, I'm just content with one or two flowers. God says, no, I want you to have 25 or 30 or 50. No, God, I'm just content with one or two. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. What do plants need to grow? They need light. What do plants need to thrive and to get larger and produce more fruit? They need light. A plant with no light will die. And a Christian with no light will die spiritually. You won't lose your salvation, but you won't be producing much fruit either. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 130, continuing on with this thing with light, Psalm 119, and look at verse number 130, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Psalm 119 and verse number 130. Look what the Bible says here. Psalm 119 and 130. It says here in the Bible, it says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I will say this to you this morning. If there's ever questions in your life about what you should do, turn to the Word of God. Ask God to show you through his word direction and what you should do. Because the Bible says the entrance of God's words gives you what? It gives you light. And then it gives understanding unto the simple. Well, God, I don't understand. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to give you instruction. Ask God to give you guidance. And then spend time in the Word. And I'm going to tell you this too. If you're reading through your Bible and you come up to something you don't understand, keep moving forward and ask God to give you direct. If it's a question you got, maybe I can try to answer it for you. If I don't know the answer for you, I'll pray. You pray and then keep going forward and wait for God to bring the answer. You might not need the answer right now. I don't know about you, but there's been plenty of times where I've read through my Bible and one day I might have read the verse, I don't know, 25, 30 times, and all of a sudden, bam, I see something I ain't never seen before. And I've read through it 25, 30 times and it's like, Lord, why didn't I ever see this principle before in this verse? Because God didn't want you to he wants you to have it right now. See, we want stuff. We want now. I want it now. No, God says, patience, wait. So if you don't understand something in the Bible, ask God to show you, but then continue on. And don't let the devil bog you down on it. Look, I'm going to give you another thing. If you have a daily Bible reading time, a daily time in the morning that you spend time with the Lord, and you're going through your Bible, don't let the devil distract you. And what I mean by that is if you're reading through, like say you're in Psalms or you're in 1 Kings, and you get down and this is where you're at in your Bible reading, and you're starting to read through 1 Kings, and the thought comes in your head, well, what about that verse over there in Hebrews chapter 6? You don't understand that completely yet. Why don't you go over? Don't do that. Don't fall into the trap of the devil. You see? See, if the devil can't get you out of your Bible, then he's going to control how you read your Bible. Do you understand? So now you're in your mind, you're like, yeah, but you don't really, see, if you really want to know, and you want, you go over there to Hebrews and you start, that's a taunt from the devil. Leave it alone. Say, no, I'm not in Hebrews right now. My Bible reading right now is in 1 Kings, and this is where I'm going to read this morning. because you just might need what's in 1 Kings, not trying to figure out what's in Hebrews chapter 6. You understand, brethren? You see, what does the devil want? He wants control. He wants control. He could even, look, there might be a time where you're supposed to get down and pray, and he's going to try to go get you to read your Bible and study your Bible. And there might be a time where you're supposed to be reading and studying your Bible that the devil's trying to get you to get down and pray. As long as he's got control and to get you to do what he wants you to do, then he's in control and you're not. Do not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. You got structured time, that's where you're supposed to be, then get in there and be there. And then maybe later on, if the Lord opens opportunity to go look at that scripture, then go look at it. But if your Bible reading time is there, stay there and read where you're supposed to read. Be careful the taunts of the enemy and what comes into your mind. Stay with what God's, ask God to help you with that. Okay? To lead, guide, and direct. The Bible says here in Psalm 119, verse number 30, the entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. So we see here that the word of God is light. Take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter number 13. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. God sets up light. Look at Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. The Bible says this. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You say, well, I have a problem with struggles that I have in my flesh. Well, are you feeding it? The Bible says here, Paul tells those in the Roman church, he says, don't make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, there's nothing wrong if a temptation comes. You've not sinned because you've been tempted. You sin when you give in to the temptation. You can't help being tempted. You can't help that. You can't help the thoughts that come into your mind. I don't know about you, but there's times where I've got down to pray and the most ungodly thoughts start coming into my mind. And you're thinking in your mind, Lord, I want to think pure and holy thoughts. Why is it when I'm getting ready to try to pray to you that all of a sudden now that all this ungodliness is coming into my mind? It's because it's a distraction and a technique of the enemy. You can't help what comes into your mind. But what you can do is you can bring that thought into captivity and take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've done that before. I'll act like I'm grabbing it and I'm saying, Lord, you take this thing. This thought that's come in my mind, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Lord, you take this thought. And if it comes back in again, I do it again. Lord, take it. Lord, your word says to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before you know it, you'll be able to start praying. Brethren, the reason I'm so emphatic is because we're in a real spiritual battle. And the more you try to live for God, the more you try to be a light, the more you try to witness, the more the battle comes on. If you're just sitting at home watching CNN for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you ain't have no clue what I'm talking about. But if you're stepping out and you're trying to walk with God, look, don't be surprised when everything breaks loose. And it's easy to say that because then when all of a sudden it goes through and everything breaks loose, you're saying, Lord, why is everything breaking loose? I did it this week. Lord, why? I don't. And it's like, Lord is saying, hey, dummy. Didn't you just pray for this? Don't you want to grow? Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. Yeah, I did pray for that. Yeah, Lord, I see. God, I'm sorry. Help me to take what you give me, Lord, to help me draw closer to you. The night is far spent. Brethren, we ain't got much time left. Brethren, there's not much time left. You can say, well, it's because I'm old. No, I'm not even saying because you're old. I'm saying I just think we don't have much time left. Let's make every moment count for the cause of Christ. Amen. Now, is it going to be easy? No, it's actually going to be very, very difficult to make every moment count. Because we got flesh. Our flesh don't like it. My flesh don't like it. My flesh don't like waking up early to try to spend time with God. Well, you're the pastor. I'm still a human being. I don't like getting up early and trying to go pray and read my Bible and study my Bible. My flesh says I want to crawl back up in bed. I don't want to get out of bed. Because the enemy knows that there's power there. There's power with God. And he does not want you to have that power. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What day? The day of the Lord. The day we cross over into eternity. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. You know one way that you know that darkness, in your honor, right, is it says to cast off the works of darkness. Cast off makes basically you're throwing it. It's just not you're just laying it down. When you cast something, you're flinging it and you're throwing it. Darkness, look, there's nothing more that the enemy wants to do. And I think in our society today, there's a lot of stuff going on today about mental illness, right? But I think it's always existed. I don't think it's anything, there's nothing new under the sun. And I think the reason we're seeing more of what society calls mental illness is because, again, you've taken God and you've moved him out of the way. And now you've given the powers of darkness all this rule, all this reign, all this authority, and there's no light to push back or keep in check the darkness. So now you have this darkness coming over our society today to where everybody is depressed, everybody's down, everybody needs medication, everybody needs this, everybody needs that. Why? Because there's no more light to hold in check that darkness. We've thrown the Bible out. We don't even know where the Bible's at. Our churches are in a mess. I'm talking about as a whole. Our country is a mess, and the devil is just almost like he's putting his wing over this country, and that darkness is over us. And that's why so many people today that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and even those that know Jesus, have this darkness coming over them because they're not walking as much as they can in the Word of God. Now, I'll say this. Charles Spurgeon, I believe, knew God. I believe that man knew God. And there was times he had trouble even getting out of the bed. Now, there's a difference between the two now. You got a darkness, I think, that comes on you when you're trying to walk with God and live for God and be a light and example. And the devil hates that, and he's going to pound you for it. And I think that's kind of what Charles Spurgeon was fighting. Because he was a powerhouse, for lack of better words, for the cause of Christ. And the devil wanted to do everything he could to destroy him. But then you also have the other side over here who don't know God, who want nothing to do with God, and you have another darkness that comes from the same enemy that's pounding them and keeping them down and under. You say, preacher, what do? Light. Light is the answer. Now look, I know medications help, but medications are just a Band-Aid. Do you understand me? And I've been in it. I know the medications, some of the medication that he's giving these kids in here to keep them in check, Depakote. Some of the stuff they're giving them is enough for a tranquilizer to knock down a horse. Why? Because you've thrown this out and you're looking for answers everywhere but the Word of God. Amen. And that was one of the things that frustrated most as a chaplain working for the Department of Juvenile Justice. Anything but the answer coming from God. And guess what? You kept getting the same results again. I had kids begging me saying, I don't want to be on that medication, chap. Because it makes me feel like horror. I feel like a zombie. He said, chap, sometimes I can't even get out of bed. I feel like I'm just out of it. But that was the only way they could control them. Is dope them up. Basically, let me keep you tranquilized long enough to where you grow up fast enough to where you're 18 and I can just transfer you over to the Department of Corrections. And let them be your problem then. Look, if you're taking medication, don't stop taking the medication. But my thing this morning is it's not the answer. It's a Band-Aid. It's not going to solve the problem. Jesus Christ has the answers. If Jesus Christ and His Word can't help you with depression, then no medication's going to help you with it either. I believe my God's powerful enough to bring deliverance to that soul that needs it, that bring light to darkness. Brethren, we turned our back on God. And we're reaping what we sown. I've spent plenty of time with psychologists. I've spent plenty of time with social workers. I've spent plenty of time with psychiatrists. And guess what? They're like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. When you got a girl, look, when you got a girl in a cell that's ripping out her hair to where she's got holes where her hair's been ripped out and she's banging her head against the wall in the cell, and the psychologist comes out and says, "Chap, I don't know what to do. You go in there and talk with her." I thought you had all the answers. I thought you got your doctorate degree in psychology and you're putting me in there? Well, it's just too bad. I don't know what to do no more with her. She needs Jesus Christ. Brethren, I'm pretty emphatic about it. Because I'm tired of Christians and the church looking for every other answer but the Word of God. And I love you. And I care for you. And I love those kids that I work with. You know what I did with that little girl in there? I went in there and I sat down in the cell with her and put my arm around her and just tried to calm her down. And I prayed the whole time I was in there. Eventually she calmed down. The reason I bring that story up is because they didn't have the answer either. See, society wants you to think they have the answer. They don't have the answer. They don't know more than you know. Education has ruined this country. Our common sense has gone out the window. And we claim that if we have a doctorate's degree in something, that all of a sudden we need to bow down to the almighty doctorate degree because you know better. No. Look, I'm trash. I'm not saying Chris Welton. I'm saying this right here. And a relation with the Lord Jesus Christ can bring deliverance. What did Jesus do for that kid that kept throwing himself in the fire and in the water? And the father brought to him and said that we've tried everything. We've tried everything. The woman that had the infirmity, I've tried everything. Come to Jesus. But it's not going to be easy. There's a price tag with it. See, we lost the power of God inside the church, and therefore we're not seeing the deliverances that used to be. We've turned to the wrong thing instead of turning to God and humbling ourselves before Him and saying, God, forgive us. Help us, God, to get back with You. The society needs it. I used to tell these kids this. I said, if I have a gunshot wound in my shoulder, and I come up to Brother Jay and say, I got shot, brother, and he looks at me, he says, well, brother, come here, and he starts cleaning it off, he cleans it off, and he puts some bandages and tape on it, and he says, all right, brother, you're good, go home. I'm looking at him like, no, you crazy, like, you need to call the ambulance, I want to go to the hospital, I want to see a doctor, and I want him to fix my arm so that I can use it again. I appreciate what you did do, but that's not going to, you stopped the bleeding, but there's still issues and problems that I need help with right now. And that's what we're doing. We're putting band-aids on something that needs surgery from God. But guess what? Most people don't want those answers. You know why? Because God wants holiness. And God wants to be the God in your life. And when God's the God in your life, then He dictates how you live your life. Do you understand what I mean by that? God's not going to be your co-pilot. These license plates, God is my co-pilot? No, He's not. No. And it isn't like Jesus can be like, okay, yeah, I'll let you help fly the plane too. No, I want Him flying a plane. I'll go in the very back and sit in the lavatory back there and let You take care of it, Lord. I don't even deserve to be in the main cabin. I'll go down in the cargo space and just trust You that You know where You need me to get. God is my co-pilot. No, God's not your co-pilot. God is the pilot. God is the plane. God is everything. But see, we don't want that. Most of society doesn't want that. I'll take a little bit of God, but I still want some of my life. And God says, no, it's either all or nothing. Either I'm your all or nothing. I'm not going to play for lack of second fiddle to nobody. But that takes a step of faith, and it takes a walk with God. The armor of light. Look, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. People need help. People need answers. People need to see that God is real and that God can bring deliverance. The Bible says here, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 8. Brethren, you know one thing that used to upset me when I had my kids when they were little is this. It used to offend me, and I didn't tell nobody this when it offended me, but it did offend me. I have four kids. I have three boys and a girl. And I tried to implement what the Word of God says, specifically in Proverbs, in training up my children. And we used to take them out sometimes and go to a restaurant and sit, and sometimes people will come up and pay me because of how well I speak as a fool, that my kids were just sitting still at the table and weren't running around crazy, and they would pay us money. I had people come up more than once, come up and give me money because my kids sat at the table. And it used to offend me when people would come up to me and just say, well, your kids are just good. No, my kids weren't just good. It took effort. It took heartache. It took tears. It took spankings. It took discipline. It took consistency. It just didn't happen. And see, today we want it just to happen. And that's why our society is the way today, because we got a generation of little kids that have come up that have never been trained in the ways of God. They have no self-control, and now they're 16, 17, 18 years old. See, when they're 3, 4, and 5, you can kind of deal with it. You can kind of pick them up and hold them, and you can stop them. When they're 16, 17, and 18, you can't pick them up and hold them and stop them. You can't slap their hand and stop. And that's where we're at today. We've thrown out how you're supposed to raise a child, and now we're reaping something that we're trying to control by any other means but by how God set it up. You know why your generation's so good, brother, and those of you who are older here? Is because even though there's men and women your age out there that might not know God, but they still got character, because the majority of them were raised with parents that will whoop your tail. Right? I'm talking about people 60 and older. For the most part, that generation there had parents, World War I, and that you didn't play with dad. For the most part, I'm not saying that's across the board, but for the most part, that generation, though they might not have known God in truth, they had a respect towards God, and they still disciplined their kids, and their kids did learn how to work. They weren't slothful. They got up early, didn't have a work ethic. They had character put into them. Because that generation was still basing their training off of the Word of God, even though they might not have known God. We're at a point now today, we don't even know God, much less trying to bring the kids up the right way according to the Word of God. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. And I'm going to stop with that right there. And I'm sorry I got off a little bit on it. But I say all that to say this. We need power. We need power. We need power more so than the generation of World War I. And World War II. We need power more than the generation before that. Why? Because this generation is seeing stuff that other generations have never seen before. You have sin. You have the potential for any kind of sin at your fingertips. You have access to anything at any moment in your home. We need the power of God. The answers are found in the Word of God, like Brother Ralph said earlier. The answer is found right here. But it's going to come at a cost. Are we willing to pay the price? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity this morning. Lord, you know these things that are heavy on my heart, dear God. Lord, a lot of people going through a lot of things, dear God. And I know depression's real. I know anxiety is real. I know sadness is real. But Lord, we need to turn to you during those times and realize, and not just Lord, may it not just be some nice little verse we put up on our wall that you're our refuge, our strength, our high tower, Lord, the tower that we run to, Lord. May it not just be a nice little verse on our wall, but may it be something that we live, that we know that you are our strong tower. And those times where we may feel depressed, we may feel down, we may feel like giving up, Lord, may we know that we can run to you and find the help in the time of need. Help my dear precious brethren here, Lord, help us to grasp how much you have there for us. Lord, how much there is for the Christian, that armor, Lord, that you provided for us. Help us to learn to put it on daily and fight the good fight of faith in this dark hour that we're living in. Help these precious brethren, Lord. Help us as in the coming hour during the preaching time, Lord, just for you to be glorified in the singing and everything that is said and done. Lord, we love you and we're thankful this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, brethren. Take a break and we'll get started.